Welcome to the Feed Weekly, where we take a fresh look at New Zealand's most important food stories. Proudly brought to you by AUT Plant and Food and Beef and Lamb New Zealand. Don't forget to join us at thefeed.co.nz. And now for a bite.
Beervana is New Zealand's premier craft beer event, offering the best from New Zealand and Australia and a few hand-picked craft beers from around the world. It's also a mind-bending, palate-expanding beer wonderland that fills Wellington's Sky Stadium on August 19 and 20 with 80-plus breweries and over 400 beers. From outrageous brewery displays to the best culinary bites, exciting live music and weird street performances, it's a beer extravaganza. That's my word. It's not actually a word. But it's also amazing that this year, Beervana celebrates 21 years. That's the 21st. I wonder if there'll be a yard glass. I guess we'll find out. It's also amazingly the 21st year for Beervana. And to tell us about this year's event and the celebration, I'm joined by Beervana manager, Ryan MacArthur. Ryan, thanks for joining us at the Feed.
Hey, kia ora, Vincent. Thanks for having me.
Well, it is 21 years, but you say on the website there's a bit of a story. What's the story?
Yeah, well, it's not really 21. It's 21 in inverted commas or, you know, air quotes. Under the Beervana banner, the name, that started in 2008 by the Brewers Guild. But it was a change made to an event that has its roots back to 2001. So it started, I think the first event in 2001 was just a way to get rid of leftover beer from the awards judging. Mm-hmm. So all that's left over, you know, you send a keg, 2 litres of that might be used by the judges, and then you've got 28, 48 litres of beer left. So they had an event post that, and then that became Beer NZ or Brew NZ, and then for I think 1 year it was sponsored by the Alcohol Commission or someone like that, and they changed it to a different name, and then it all led up to to them coming up with Beervana in 2008. So it's the 21st is a way for us to talk about the history of the festival, but because it's a festival that grew up with the kind of craft beer industry, as it were, I think it was important to have a way into that story pre actually being called Beervana. Mm-hmm. And then because in 2008 and 9 and 10, it was at a different venue, the overseas terminal, and then at the town hall, which is obviously shut at the moment. And then in 2011, it was bought by David Cryer of Cryer Malt, who he was the chair of the Brewers Guild at the time, and then he bought the festival in order to take it out of the town hall and to grow it and to bring in the kind of food vendors that, you know, wanted beer to be taken seriously with food, and you couldn't do that at the time in a council venue. And with Wellington on a Plate kind of on, and or the beginnings of the Wellington on a Plate, it just seemed natural to add food to and then grow it into a to where we are now. And of course the first couple of years, you know, it took a long time for it to make its way to grow all the way around the stadium, the big concrete donut that is the Wellington Regional Stadium concourse, but we got there. And yeah,
I mean, it's now become quite iconic, hasn't it? How many people do you expect to attend this year's event?
Yeah, I mean, so last year, you know, we had the largest crowd that we'd ever had. So that was just under 17,000 people. And, you know, that's what we aim for. And the way tickets are selling at the moment, expectations are, I think, that we'll get there. The 16,000 to 17,000 is kind of what we aim for. Mm. We could put more people in, but, you know, a big part of the festival is that it shouldn't feel uncomfortable to be in there. And, you know, we've found a kind of number that works well, I think, for that venue.
Will you be doing anything special to celebrate turning 21?
Well, I mean, what we've done is rebranded the festival, and that feels like a bit of a celebration. It was for a long time, you know, each of the three kind of even four brandings of the festival have reflected where they were, where the festival was and where the industry was. But the previous branding being this kind of black and with some gold in it, really for the last couple of years has not reflected what it's actually like to be at the festival. And so we needed something big and bright, and we needed something that didn't look like most beer festivals, because Beervana doesn't look like most beer festivals. It's
what sets it apart, do you think?
The venue's a big one, and also the what breweries bring to the festival, not in terms of what they bring to pour. That is definitely something that it is a festival, so the offerings are always weird and exciting, but the breweries themselves bring a kind of they bring their brand and their personality to the festival, and it means that being, you know, the one festival that a lot of breweries feel like they have to do each year, they really want to make a splash. And we see that with, you know, famously what Garage Project have done over the years, but then, you know, breweries like Panhead have gone big, small breweries like Mean Doses had a massive LED screen as their bar that they served out of last year. Abandoned Brewery over the years have done some really iconic stalls, and so people just don't, breweries just don't turn up and have a table and then pour some beers. They express their brand through their stalls, and that started in the early days at the stadium, where there was a prize for most interesting stall, but that prize disappeared, and now it's just what breweries do. They want to stand out. They want to, you know, really capture the imagination of drinkers and of the public. And then we're in that big concrete donut, which is just one long reveal, right? Like, you know, you can walk for 4 hours and only make it back one loop, or you could do, you know, lots. It's further than you think, that walk around there. I think it's only 400 meters, but when you're stopping to have a beer every couple of minutes, it's,
It's also a good workout.
Yeah,
there are other milestones. There are other milestones this year as well. You mentioned on the site that Emerson's is turning 30. Brew Moon, famous Canterbury brewery, turning 21.
There are 20. There was an early mistake there. They're actually 20, not 21.
Right. We'll save that up for next year. I mean, in some ways, the Beervana reflects, I suppose, the emergence of a whole industry itself. And, you know, we've got some pioneers like Emerson's. But in their wake has followed really this flourishing of an industry that didn't exist, you know, before then. We were stuck in a horrible duopoly of quite ordinary tasting lagers. What's the state of the industry now? I mean, it's been wonderful to see it flourish. How has it, for instance, survived COVID?
Yeah, I think, well, the industry is still there, the industry, as it were. I think the industry has suffered and the trials and tribulations, just like everyone else has. You know, the last few years have been difficult, and I think this year, especially for breweries, has been probably the most difficult. You know, the last couple of years, it was down to, you know, being in lockdowns, not being able to sell beer, but mostly not being able to sell keg beer, which is where the volume comes from. This year, due to all sorts of factors around the world, and, you know, what we're seeing with this agreement to finally, between the Ukraine and Russia, to finally hopefully release all this grain, it's meant that, you know, breweries who use a lot of grains and a lot of their other ingredients, basically there's been restrictions on that, right down to CO2, you know, rationing. And with the shutting down of the aluminium smelter, that apparently turned out that they actually produced a large amount of CO2 for New Zealand. So there's been a shortage of CO2 with you know, the CO2 companies having to import from overseas, and that's affected, like most things, affected the smaller breweries the most, I think. And then, you know, just people being sick, like everywhere else in hospo, you know, having staff out. It's been a very tough year, I think, for breweries. But in New Zealand, you know, like you mentioned, it's been over the last 10 years, especially, but over the last 20 years, it's been such a revolution in choice, really. You know, gone are the days where you had the duopoly, you know, and then maybe, you know, 3, 4, 5 smaller breweries around the country, including Emerson's. Very quickly, You know, I like to actually talk to Richard Emerson last week in Dunedin, and, you know, he talks about how he doesn't have any children of his own, but there's all these brewers that have had his beers in the 90s and early 20s, and they've all gone off and started breweries, and he feels like he's kind of a bit of the father of at least the craft beer industry, and I think he's probably correct, and there's not very many that can, if any, that can say they're celebrating a 30th.
Absolutely.
It's a long time in this industry.
If anyone's had the privilege of meeting Richard Emerson, you'll know that enthusiasm is probably at least one of the reasons they've been so successful, is just his love of life and his love for beer. Certainly converted. We went on a brewery tour a few years ago with our kids, and should say older kids in their late teens and 20s. And, geez, what a great host he was.
That's extraordinary. And the fact that he's deaf and, you know, has this, it, you know, what many of us would imagine is this difficulty in communicating because of it, like it just hasn't stopped him, like his enthusiasm and his love of it after these 30 years. And, you know, I haven't seen him since last year, and then got to spend a couple of days at the New Zealand Beer Awards with him and do an interview for Beervana with him. And it was just, you know, it's always, every time I see him, it's like catching up with an old mate who, you know, I see once a year, if that. And he just, sometimes when your enthusiasm lags for beer, just talk to Richard, it'll make you want to have a beer.
To what extent is there a ceiling with craft beer, given that it's a difficult product to export, right? So is there a natural limit, do you think, that the supply or the demand, I should say, could get to?
You know, it's difficult to tell. It's, you know, it being a really tough year globally for breweries in this respect, because we're talking about breweries, I think there might be a little bit of course correction in the numbers of breweries that are out there. But, you know, using Richard as an example, you know, there is a kind of ceiling in terms of independent success before, you know, I mean, how big can you grow unless you're exporting, or until you, you know, catch the eye of one of the big global, you know, drinks and brewery brands and get purchased. And I think for Richard, you know, it was in Emerson's and you know, Panhead. I think Lion did a pretty great job, you know, buying those breweries, but then understanding what they had bought and just giving them the support that they needed. You know, Emerson still feels like an independent brand when you go down there. It's just in this beautiful big building with all this, with the new brewery and with all this beautiful equipment, and the beers that are coming out are incredible, you know. For smaller breweries, I think the brew pub model is one way to see some kind of longevity. A brew pub, or at least a tap room, is important, you know, shortening that distance between where the beer is made and the consumer, so you don't have to, you know, package it, or at least you can package it in reusable containers. So, you know, there was a few years ago where the brew pubs all started popping up, and, you know, here in Wellington you can get about 5 or 6 of them within a couple of 100 metres. And Auckland has, you know, the stretch along is in Kingsland and stuff that you can kind of get to. And there's a lot of breweries that are exporting quite a lot, and have had to, you know, look at Deep Creek up in Auckland, and they, you know, they've just put in a big new brewery, and that's, you know, would have been planned before the pandemic, I'm sure, but, you know, they've still expanded and grown during the pandemic. And I think, you know, I think a lot of that has probably come from export, especially into China and Australia.
Fantastic. Yeah. I mean, it's just so wonderful to see that level of creativity and invention, and, you know, the kind of, I suppose, the joy of craft is this infusion of personality, isn't it, into the products.
Yeah, and, you know, infusion of influences as well. You know, a lot of people take their influences in music or film and translate into this product, this liquid that, you know, I guess with beer, because it's the product of a number of different ingredients, and then the additional ingredients and adjuncts that you can add to beer, and because beer doesn't, you know, what does beer mean these days? It really means that, you know, there's no end to the kind of possibilities of flavor and combinations, and you know, it's an agricultural product like wine, but, you know, wine has one ingredient in it, variations of an ingredient, you know, in blends, but, you know, it has that lane, whereas beer is more like cooking in many ways. You know, it's more like making a soup or a meal. You know, you add all these different additions in order to get different flavors. The hops are there for preservation and bitterness, but you know, then you can put all sorts of stuff, marshmallows, lemongrass, maybe not those two at the same time, but who am I to yuck someone's yum? The market will tell you whether it was a good idea or not.
That's such a good way to look at it. And the festival itself is, I love the introduction of the colour and the branding really reflects, as you say, the sort of the emerging feel of this event. So tell us about what to look forward to. And I'm curious also, what should we push the boundaries on? You know, if we want to get out of our comfort zone, what should we be trying this year, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the branding, like I said earlier, was designed to reflect, you know, or even catch up to the experience of the festival. You know, we try and, I think the festival successfully captures all of the beer geeks and the beer drinkers and stuff, but we really aim to help grow the market. So we try and aim for those who are just maybe curious, or even those who are dragged along by their girlfriend or something like that, and they don't drink beer. So but we also didn't want it to look like a festival. It needed to look open to everyone, you know, Beervana and like beer, you know, doesn't matter who you are, you can drink it. And because there's so many different combinations, so many different types of beer, the hope is that there's at least one beer at the festival out of, you know, I think we had 440 beers last year. I mean, I've only got the beer lists for 15 of the 68 odd stalls, and we've got 90, just over, I think actually we're over 100 breweries represented at the festival from New Zealand and all over the world. But with there's just over 60 exhibitors. So there's a couple of bars that have lots of different beers on them from all over the place, three Australian breweries. So, I mean, you know, what we want people, I guess curiosity is the thing, you know, is to come along and try beers. I mean, you can get the beer list beforehand. You can see all the crazy stuff, or you can plan accordingly, or you could just, and this is one thing that I recommend, just turn up and just go for a wander and see what catches your eye. And I mean, you know, the festival is kind of famous for having all these kind of, you know, it's a festival. You've got either 75 mils or 250 mils to capture someone's imagination or capture their palate, right? But not those style of beers are not necessarily the ones that, you know, put food on the table for breweries and their staff, you know. What we hope is someone goes, oh, I had that crazy chocolate, orange, whatever beer, Beervana. That was really good. Let me try the, you know, the pale lager, and maybe I'll fall in love with that one. That becomes my, you know, my regular drinking beer. And
sure.
You know, that's what we really hope for. And then in terms of what's at the festival this year, I mean, like we've talked a lot about Emerson's being 30. They've taken over what's called the Stall 1 space, which is this big area in the first section that has been used by breweries over the last 3 years to really celebrate a big achievement, and they got a lot of space to do a lot of interesting things with. They're going to have a live stage connecting Emerson Richard's love of music, which is ironic seeing as though he's deaf, an irony that he makes a lot of jokes about, and they're releasing a couple of sort of music inspired beers for that. So they've got four bands coming up from Dunedin. And then, yeah, Brew Moon are 20. I think the only all-female brew crew in the country, and a small brewery from Amberley in North Canterbury. So for them to have been around for 20 years shows that, you know, being in a small place and serving, you know, locally, you can buy their beers around the country, but, you know, it's the locals who are going to get you through.
Yeah.
That's an exciting one.
Yeah, such a great achievement. Yeah.
That is.
And what about you, Ryan? What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Tuesday after the festival. No. I mean, for me, like, you know, I get really excited when usually on the Thursday night after the packout day, the night before the festival, when everyone's gone and I walk around the stadium and I kind of see, you know, what everyone brings to the festival, and it's all quiet and I kind of walk around and you know, because this is my full-time job for a year and I work towards this one weekend. And, you know, it's such a large, you know, such a large number of breweries, 50 to 60% maybe. I know exactly what they're doing, what they're planning. you know, another 35, you know, have inklings. We talk about it, but, you know, they all know what they can and can't do in terms of health and safety. And then there's always someone, you know, who'll surprise me and, you know, I didn't know they were doing that particular thing. I knew what beers they had, but I didn't know that they were going to focus on, like, some kind of, there's some lasers coming from Mean Doses this year that after their LED screen thing last year, I'm pretty excited to see how that turns out. And then just looking forward to, you know, a couple of hours into the first session when all the kinks have ironed out and people stop calling me on the phone or texting me, you know, and the festival just kind of settles into its rhythm. And then also, you know, we have a leaderboard, which traditionally you've been able to use an app to rate out of 5 stars, you know, and give your thoughts about what that beer is. But that kind of sportification, I haven't enjoyed. And so part of the new branding this year was changing the language around that. So, you know, in the weeks leading up, shortly you'll be able to have your own account on the website. And there's it's a web version of an app. And so you'll be able to go through the entire beer list and wish list all that. But then on the day, you know, if you like a beer, you can click a praise button. And sure, the leaderboards that are around the place will still be a numbers game, but it's just the language, I think, has changed. I'm really looking forward to seeing how that works. Because I think those leaderboards, the best thing they do is act as a recommendation system. You know, you see people looking at it and go, oh, shit, I never heard of that brewery before. I'll go try that beer that's up there. And because it'll constantly be updating, it means people will discover different beers and different breweries, hopefully. And, you know, put a bit more positive language around that kind of, you know. The thing that I hated the most about it, that always was like, you know, someone saying, I hate sour beers, the sour beer sucks. Like, well, if you hate the sour beers, I mean, why are you going to, you're not going to rate it any other way, right? So, yeah.
Well, the joy of these things is that there's room for everyone, isn't there? That's the whole point of the festival and the point
absolutely.
Of it.
And even if you don't like beer, I'm a big fan of cider, so there's always cider there. Even our own Highball Festival has a stall this year because it's coming up at the end of September. And Ricky, who manages that and is one of the best bartenders in the country, he is doing some beer-based cocktails. So there's always, like, when someone comes, you know, with something that's not directly beer, my question is, well, where does that fit in the beer story? So he's doing some beer-based cocktails, as is the Alchemist. We've got some natural wine, you know, some seltzer, you know, those kind of like beer-adjacent drinks, because a lot of breweries expand sideways, you know, instead of trying to grow this way, they kind of grow into different beverages. And then like people like the Yeasty Boys, who haven't been around for a while, are back and relaunching in New Zealand after taking it overseas and growing it hugely over there in England and Europe. And, you know, then we have the food vendors, man, which that if you ask me what I'm looking forward to the most, I think I almost put this festival on just to eat a shit ton of oysters. I go heavy into the oysters.
Yeah, watch out, Sarah. The beer barn of the food fest is coming. Hey, it's lovely talking to you. I just think what's happening in Wellington is just so exciting. Congratulations. And what time are the doors open, Ryan?
Yeah, so doors open 11 a.m. on both Friday and Saturday for the day session. And then for the night sessions, they open at 6:30. You can get the early access tickets, so you get it in half an hour earlier, so you get sort of free, you know, half an hour of unimpeded access to all the breweries. It's always a good way. You can load your wristbands before the festival, so you don't have to line up at the stalls to load your wristbands. You just get straight into it. I think there's 8 of the full festival passes left. I checked this morning. That's all 4 sessions. There's a few options there.
Good stuff. All right, hey, well, good luck for the event, and no doubt we will see you kicking around the capital. Ryan absolutely. MacArthur, thanks so much for joining us at the feed.
Cheers, Vincent.